I'm sure that you will recall that last Sunday morning at our morning service, we did not get to conclude the study that we had arrived at in the book, The Song of Solomon. The study being not a very pleasant one to consider, but real nonetheless, the study of immorality as it is set out before us in this book. We did notice, however, that while medicine is not very tasty to the palate, it does us good. And even though the subject is not a pleasant one, yet if we take the teaching of it to heart, it will do us good and save us from many an evil. Last Sunday we dealt with chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs. But we said, if you can remember, altogether there were 5 different chapters dealing with this subject. Chapter 2, parts of the chapter that is. Chapter 2, a fuller detail given in chapter 5. And then part of chapter 6. Then the last part of chapter 9. And chapter 7 being the main chapter that we were studying. We said there were 3 matters we wanted to consider about the subject of immorality as it is brought before us. We just got the first one dealt with, the purveyors of it. And we saw that the purveyors were 2. The strange woman, as she's called. We noticed all about that woman, her appearance and her aim, her activity, her announcement and her allurement. We saw what Solomon had to warn us of concerning her. And then we saw the second purveyor, the simple youth. And we noticed that there was a location that he should have avoided, not to have gone near her house. There was a temptation he ought to have refused, and a submission that he ought to have resisted. And that's as far as we got. I want you to notice in the second place the plight of immorality now. What's going to happen to those who ignore the warnings, those who will go down that line of that which is unlawful and unclean? Well, the Bible tells us what's going to happen. And I want you to look with me, first of all, how it's going to affect the simple youth, the young fella that's caught up in this. And you remember, perhaps last week, we did emphasize that the strange woman, at least in chapter 7, was one that was given to harlotry, whoredom, and prostitution. But it was not only confined to her. But what happens to the young man that's well led by her charms? What about the plight? Well, first of all, there's delusion. Notice chapter 7 and verse 22. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Here's a young man, like that ox, unsuspecting, it's brought to a place, it's out feeding in the pasture, not knowing that it's just being made ready for the slaughter. And that's what happens to the naive and gullible young man that's caught in this kind of a lifestyle. He's going to be deluded as to the awful end that awaits him. And also in chapter 7, verse 26, there's something else awaiting him. Death. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. And then we learn that there's going to be damnation, verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. This is where it's all going to end, young people. Unless God in His mercy steps in and you turn from your sin and receive Him, it's going to end not only in death, but in hell. If you turn back to chapter 5, verse 9, you'll find there's going to be something else. It's going to be dishonor. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Verse 10, destitution, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. This is what happens whenever people go down this evil way. Their families can be affected. Their business can be affected. Their wealth can be affected. They can end up in financial ruin. Verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. There's going to be disease set in. We have all heard, I'm sure, of the evils of AIDS. That is primarily a sexually transmitted disease. And that if people remain chaste and pure, generally speaking, they will not contract this hideous disease. Now, there are other reasons. I know that children are born with this, but sadly they suffer in it all. Syphilis, VD, there are so many terrible diseases that come from this. This is what the Bible teaches on the matter. Chapter 5, verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And this is in the context of this wicked woman. You'll find that chapter 5 will tell you about that. And then there's disappointment. Notice verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. In other words, when the person is caught with this, and the body is diseased, and the body has gone into a terrible state of dishonor, and there's disgrace, what do we learn? We learn that the person will say, I wish I had have listened to my mother and father. I wish I would have listened to my Sunday school teachers, my youth leaders. I wish I would have listened to my minister. I wish I would have listened to godly men, other Christians who advised me to be pure. But it'll be too late then. So, for the young man, there's going to be delusion, death, damnation, dishonor, destitution, disease, disappointment, and domination. Notice verse 22 of chapter 5. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. And then disgrace. Notice chapter 6 and verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. What a terrible disaster awaits the simple youth that goes down that road of immorality. The perils, the plight. But what about the strange woman? After all, she appeared, according to chapter 7, she was the prime mover in all of this. What about her? I want you to notice two things about her. First of all, she'll bear the plight of a stained reputation. Turn back to chapter 2 and verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Here is a woman who has abandoned goodness, virtue, wholesomeness, and God. God's the guide of her youth. God's the God of the covenant. Oh, what a reputation she has. She's one who is seductive in her attitude and actions. Notice verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Many big men have been brought low by small flatteries. Notice again what we learn about her in chapter 5 and verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman droppeth in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. What a reputation she has! Not only is she seductive in her attitudes and actions, but she's given to marital infidelity. We noticed it last week in chapter 7 when she said to the young man, my husband's away. He has taken a bag of money with him. He's going to be away for several days. We'll be all right to proceed down this line. What a wicked woman. There was a young college girl on one occasion who studied in an environment where there was so much promiscuity. And one of the other young girls advised her to forget about her purity and to be like the rest of them. And this young girl replied, these are the words, anytime I want, I can be like you, but never again can you be like me. And she was right. So this woman that we're looking at has got the plight of a stained reputation. And then, secondly, the plight of a sure ruin. Notice chapter 5 and verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. It's not a pretty picture. Bitter and sharp will be her end. Painful in the extreme, and that for all eternity. Young people, be warned. Do not give in to peer pressure. Do not succumb to what the devil may hold before you as something pleasant for now. You'll have your regrets. And then lastly, we have seen not only the purveyors of immorality and the plight that immorality brings, but I want you to notice the prevention of immorality. Back again to Proverbs chapter 7. Notice verse 24 and verse 25. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. And you have the same thing said, in other words, in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 5. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. What he's saying is, refuse the company of the strange woman. Have nothing to do with her. Now, Paul wrote to that effect in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, to the church at Corinth. He said, flee fornication. Fornication is just aggravated sexual immorality. Again, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, he says, flee youthful lusts. So what he's saying is, stay away from the places in which is to be found. Close your eyes to the appearance that she assumes. Turn away your ears from the sounds and offers that she makes. That's what Solomon's saying. Have nothing to do with her. The refusal of the company of the strange woman. And then secondly, the rejoicing in the companionship of the God-given woman. And this is for husbands and wives. Notice chapter 5, verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. What God is saying here is, don't be looking for pleasant waters elsewhere. God has given you provision. And that's what's entailed in being husband and wife. That's part of what's being entailed in husband and wife. Now, in verse 18, he says, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So it's not only, strictly speaking, young people that are brought into view in this matter of immorality. It can affect older people, and sadly it does. And the remedy is, first of all, to stay away from the company of the strange woman, and then rejoice in the companionship of your wife and husband. And let both wife and husband be to each other what they wanted to be when they fell in love with each other, when they sought to win each other's affections. Why should things change when you're married 20 or 30 or 40 years? This is what Solomon is saying. God has given you provision when he's given you a wife, when he's given you a husband, and the way you strive to impress her whenever you were going with her to get her hand, you should try to be that type of person to her whenever you're married years later. And women ought to be the same. So this is the answer. This is how it's prevented. Stay away from the strange woman. And if you're married, find your love and pleasure and companionship of that nature in your wife alone. I come to a close now. But let me say in closing, perhaps some people are in church today and they're saying from their heart, preacher has been sounding out the warning to prevent young people and others from becoming immoral. But is there any word for me in all of this who, alas, have been stained with immorality? What about me? Is there any hope for me? Well, let me tell you, friend, there is. Emphatically so, there is. Listen to what we read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains, including the one of immorality. Listen to what John writes in his first letter. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What will happen to this simple youth and this strange woman that we have looked at today? All the damnation and death and disease and dishonor. That will only be so if they persist in their sin. But if they will turn and trust Christ, there is hope. Do you know why I'm so sure? Not only because of what we read in Isaiah and 1 John that I've quoted to you, but also what we read in Joshua chapter 2. A harlot, an impure woman. Her name was Rahab. She was known as Rahab the harlot. That's how she was known, by her harlotry. But one day, two messengers, James tells us they were. Joshua says they were spies, but James says they were messengers. They were spies with a message from God. And Rahab hid them by faith, Paul tells us in Hebrews 11. And she said to these spies, we have heard how God has been with you, and the nations tremble because of you, and we are shut up and we are afraid because of your God. And she pleaded for mercy. And they said, if you will not breathe our matters to anybody, whenever we are coming through, if we see this scarlet cord in your window, then we will know not to destroy this house. You bring your family and your loved ones under your roof. And whenever we are coming by and the city's being destroyed, you'll be preserved. And the Bible tells us that Rahab, that unclean woman, and her family were gloriously converted and came into the covenant of grace, came into the family of God. And if you read Matthew chapter 1, there are five women mentioned. And Rahab is listed, a fallen woman, in the genealogy of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is hope for you, man or woman, who have fallen, who have gone into sin, this kind of sin. There's mercy with the Lord, but you need to turn from your sin. Settle it in your heart. You're going to break off your sins and come to Christ in faith and repentance and trust Him alone and see the value and the worth and the power of His precious blood. And if you come to Him, no matter what you've done, He'll not cast you out. May God grant that you'll come today. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank Thee for the warnings and the encouragements in Thy Word. And we do pray that what we've been looking at over these past two Sunday mornings will be used of Thy Spirit to both sound a warning and to be a preventative of these awful sins, and also to be a means of hope and encouragement for those who want to break off these sins. and find forgiveness and cleansing in Christ. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.